game and we're acting like it doesn't matter. And the kid is in the balance because he's saying, Dad, what's it look like? Well, it looks like this. You can do anything you want. You can do whatever you want. You can act like an ungodly person and nobody will care because this is America and who's anybody to judge? Listen, that is not what this book says. This book says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. But whatever you sow, you shall reap. Did you hear that? So don't play the game that it's all about you, because it's not. You've got a child. God's given you a stewardship. You should go spy out the land. You see what kind of land it is. It's a good land. And if you haven't broken through to the knowledge that it's a good land yet, then you need to dig in deeper. Hebrews chapter 1 and 2 and 3, it's all about strive ye therefore to enter into the rest. You see, if you're still striving, you're still on a treadmill trying to measure up, saying, well, I'll do. You haven't quite got there. You just keep hanging on. You keep digging in because you're going to find out one day it'll dawn that just as God on the seventh day rested, so it is with salvation. When Jesus died and said it is finished, was buried, rose again the third day, He made a perfect salvation. And we have a perfect completed work and we are perfected because we have His imputed righteousness. In other words, we get all the credit for Jesus. Now, that sounds awesome and it is awesome. But you need to take the jewel, the diamond, and you need to turn it. You need to look at facet to facet to facet because it's true on every hand. It's true every time. If you flipped a coin with two heads and tails, you get 50-50. This is always God. It's always good. God always shows us it's true. And you just have to spend some time in the book to find it out. They went into the land. They were to find out what kind of land it is. And yes, when you look at the land, God's going to tell you some truth. He's going to tell you there are enemies out there. I send you forth as sheep among wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. The Bible says that I've called you to be my disciples, and if they hated me, they're going to hate you. Yeah, there's going to be some big bad bullies out there. The world's going to hate you, he said. He says, all who live godly in Christ Jesus are going to suffer persecution. You say, well, why would I even sign up for that? Why would I? Because this is just a drop in the bucket. Some of you have gardens. It's hot outside. And there's weeds in that thing. But when you get that nice ripe tomato out of that thing and you get a bite of that thing and you grew it with your own hands, man, that's sweet. And I'm telling you, all these ladies going through pregnancies and having babies, it's out of control. But, you know, God never pulled a punch. He said, girls, it's going to hurt. And every one of you who had a baby would say, amen, it hurts. But when you have the baby placed in your arm, you say, it's what? It's worth it. It's worth it. And for you who have worked hard and you've tasked and you've labored in your field and you've gotten the job or you've prepared yourself and you've gotten a degree or you've gone out there and you've built a home or you've built something and it was a lot of work and it was frustrating, man, you look back and you say, it's worth it because you carved it out and God said, listen, it's going to be hard, it's going to be hot, but what I'm doing is I'm doing what you want to do with your son one day. You want to say to your son one day, I brought Craig in here. We did some work yesterday with all the other guys and I put him on a job and I knew I could leave him there because he's a man now. I said, yeah, you do it. Whatever you think, you do it. He did it. And when you look at your son, you can say, come on, son, we're going to go pull some rocks out of the ground. You've got a whole yard out here. It's like 5 acres. We're going to go buy a little wheelbarrow and pick up rocks and throw them in. They're like, you kidding, man? Most of them are saying, what? What, I'll get a sunburn, you know, or my fingers hurt, you know. And at first, but after a while, when they become a young man, what do? They say, let's do it, Dad. I don't want you doing that alone. Guess what? God says, you're my child. You are now of age. I'm going to tell you all the truth. In the Old Testament, it was tutors, and there were nannies, and there were people trying to help you, you know, all of the regimentation of the law. But now, fullness of time's come. Jesus is born. He's buried. He died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again. All that's true. It's all done. It's all in the books. I've taken care of everything. Now I'm going to ask you to come up here and go arm to arm with me. What's he call it? Yoke. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. My yoke is easy. That means it's serviceable. It's just what you were made for. You were made for this yoke. You say, well, I got my own ideas. And all you're going to do is make chafing. You know, when the one yoke, when you're in a yoke with Jesus and he's going on through, guess who's going to win that battle? I'm going this way. Well, he's going to drag you along. And you're going to wonder why everything's so hard. Everything's hard because you're not following him. You're saying, I'm going to do it my way. I don't like my circumstances. I don't like my life. I don't like everything that's happening. Well, give it up. Lay it down. Say, God, here, I'm going to let you lead. I'm going to just do it your way. I'm going to start being nice. I'm going to start being loving. I'm going to start caring. I'm going to start saying the right things to my family. I'm going to start being a servant rather than this grouch that comes in every night. And you say, I don't want to do that. I know you don't, because we're selfish. And you're not the only one. Everybody in this room, every man in this room would be able to stand up behind this microphone and say, hi, my name is X, Y, or Z. I'm selfish. And everybody would say, hi, X, Y, or Z. Because we know we're all in recovery. If there is a purgatory, this is it, folks. And there is no other purgatory. I shouldn't even say if there is, because I don't even give you the idea. You ain't get another chance. This is it. God is purging you now. He gives you those little eyeballs looking at you, and He's saying, well, I want to be like Daddy. And they're going to act like you. I remember one day a guy drove into the car wash over there at the BP station. It used to be a Ohio station out by the Bob Evans. And I was guiding him up, coming on the racks to do a car wash. And that's where I worked as a teenager. The guy said, you're Davenport, aren't you? I said, well, yeah. How'd you know? He's an old gray-headed guy. I don't know any old gray-headed people. I didn't even know we were supposed to talk to one another, really. I mean, but the fact is, he said, you're down. He said, I knew because the way you stand. The way you stand. I knew just by the way you standing there. Now, folks, there's a whole lot more of Davenport in me than just the way I stand. And I'm still trying to overcome it. So, but the bottom line is you're going to be an impact on your kid. What are you going to be? Are you going to tell them what kind of land it is? In the Bible, there's a call upon your life to be a good steward. In the old days, they took it seriously. When you wanted to join the church, they would ask two questions. And it's over and over again repeated in the Pilgrim's Progress because it was something that was routinely understood in that day. They would ask you, where have you come from and where are you going? You couldn't just come in and say, I want to be a member of the church. You had to give your testimony, where have you come from? And you had to give a clear word about where you're going for eternity. Well, I got saved. God saved me. Jesus died for me. I trusted Him. I was, 15. I was 12. Whatever. And I trusted Him. And I'm on my way to heaven. And I'm looking for the celestial city. Where have you come from? Where are you going? Now we're paying people to join the church. We're paying them. Oh, we'll change the whole program if you'll just come. Beloved, what I'm saying is things have changed. But one thing hasn't changed. Your kids are still putting the question to you. Where'd you come from? Where are you going? And you never answer it with words. You answer it with your life. Sometimes around the dinner table or breakfast table, you'll tell them about how you got saved. I remember one day we thought, I'm going to ask them, do you know when I got saved? And we went around the family and did this, and it might be a good thing to do today. Do you know when Dad got saved? Tell me my story. What happened in my life? And I found out my own kids didn't really even know it very clearly. And I had to sit there at that table. I said, well, when I was this and that happened and God did this and I got saved and changed my life and they got my story. Do they know yours? Because they're wanting to know. When did it happen? You say, well, I don't know if I have words. Get words. It'll put you on a level they can understand. It'll help them know that you were a sinner once and you knew you were a sinner and you knew you had offended a holy God and you knew you were going to go to hell. And the dad they think is not scared of anything got a little scared one day. Thought, I need to make some decisions about Jesus Christ because He is the King of the universe and I'm going to answer to Him one day. Beloved, what I'm saying is you go figure out the land and you let your kids know what you figured out because nobody else is going to ask you like they're going to ask you. And they're the last vestige of our future. They're the last vestige of our hope. If we don't tell them and show them how it's done, the next generation is in huge trouble. Let your eye fall into the passage down to verse 21. They went out, they saw all this stuff, they saw whether it was good or bad. Verse 21 says, so they went up, and says they searched the land from the wilderness. And then the men came to Hamath. In verse 22, they ascended. In verse 23, they came out under the brook Eshcol. This is where the grapes were. You see the clusters of grapes there. They saw all this good stuff. In verse 24, it says they called the place Eshcol, which means clusters because of the clusters of grapes. And they cut down, and they had to take these grapes, and they had to put them on a pole. They were so plentiful. They're walking out with huge, massive amounts of grapes. And the idea is that they were big, too. They were just large, and they were big clusters, and they were large grapes. And in verse 25, it says, and they returned from searching the land 40 days. Now, 40 days. Can I just say, I think, as I perceive, maybe from my vantage point, that a lot of your Christian life depends on those first 40 days. A lot of the decision comes to you right away. You got saved, you prayed a prayer, And then you started raising an eyebrow about what you'd just done. And then you started making decisions. Am I going to be in church on Sunday? Okay, I'll go a couple weeks. 40 days. Well, that might cost me something. You know, I got things I do on Sunday. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you do. Am I going to be on Wednesday night? God forbid. Nobody goes on Wednesday. Good grief. What would people think? Really? I don't think you're reading the same Bible I'm reading. Sunday night, Wednesday night. Folks, listen. That's bare minimum. And yet we're like, one day an hour, 1 hour a week's going to do me. That's your priority. That's what you're telling the kids the land looks like. Okay? Just say it. I have no dominion over your faith. I just know, as for me and my house, when I got saved, I was a young boy. I was about 16, maybe almost 17 years old. I sat on the second seat. I was the only kid my age in the room. And I had long hair, and all the old people were looking at me. All the people with white hair I wasn't supposed to talk to, they were all sitting there looking at me. But I was there on Wednesday night because I felt like I needed to know something. I needed to learn something. I didn't know everything yet. And by the way, if you think you know everything yet, let me ask you this. You think you know everything? What are you doing for God? You think you got it? You think you know this? All right, where's your service? Because that's where it goes. It's not about getting knowledge. God doesn't give us knowledge to give us big heads. He gives us knowledge of Himself to give us burning hearts. You're supposed to get lit up. If you're not lit up, then you're stagnant. You're a pond and everything's gone in and it's just sat there and it's gotten miserable. And you're saying, well, this is how Christianity is. Son, I'll tell you, it's okay. You need to do it. But, you know, let's go fishing. You know, son, you need to do it, but, you know, let's go work on the car. Hey, son, yeah, you need to do that. Get that thing handled. But we got things to do. Games, playing, life, man, games, playing, life. That's what you're telling them. Now, they went in for 40 days, and that first 40 days says a lot about you. You're making choices because that son, that Wednesday comes around and say, well, I'll be there, or not. And you're at the edge of the river. And maybe you went once or you went twice, but you didn't need any more than that. You didn't want it. It really wasn't about need. You know it wasn't about need, because I know. I'm just like you. I had my 40 days, you got your 40 days. You go look at the land, you camp out under the stars, you consider what you saw. Yeah, God said that's true. God said there's going to be a huge grape. Look at these grapes. God said there's going to be a big land, it's going to be great. He said I'd be conqueror, all that. And now I'm going to go back and tell my kids we can't do it. We can't do it. We can't live this life. It's too hard. It just was really impressed upon me recently. Probably all the things I'm reading and everything, but you know, the Apostle Paul, who wrote half of your New Testament, ended his life at a veritable guillotine. They cut his head off. Now think about that. This is not Sunday school. This is life. Cut his head off. Well, I'm busy. Okay. So you have the same variety of faith that God's Word says that led the Apostle Paul to leave everything, work more than they all, suffer shipwreck, beaten with rods, thrown in jail. You've got that same faith, and you're going to stand before God one day, and you're going to say, here's what I told my kids. This is how it looks. What I'm saying is, burning hearts. It's what God's after. He is not after game playing. He's not after footsies. And He really doesn't have a lot of use for silly stubbornness. Folks, listen. Our teenagers today are going to hell. They're going to hell. They have no appetite for God. And it's because we as the adults have not shown them that it matters. So when they get to their teens and they're driving you nuts and you're wondering where they are, it's going to be largely because something wasn't right in your home. You've told them it didn't matter and they found it to be true. Now, what are you going to do to the person who messes with a little child? You going to shoot them? Yeah, right. Maybe you need to start with the guy in the window. Because sometimes we need, the Bible says, to mortify the deeds of our flesh. Kill ourselves. Fall into the ground and die. What does it look like to be a Christian? Do you have a chapter and verse? I've got one. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness. Right? All those things. God says that's what it looks like. When you get close to God and you let God be God and you let him be the lead ox in your yoke, you start getting nicer. Well, I don't want to get nicer. That's a decision. You're like the 10 spies who said, no way, we can't do it. It doesn't work. And the kids are saying, there it is. Dad said it doesn't work. Man, he's who my hero was. He says it doesn't work. And it's not important. Now, I know, beloved, for you and me, it's a sacrifice because there's so much to do. So much playing to be done. I have actually, we give off on Sunday nights, on Father's Day, Mother's Day. Why? Because I know you've got this. I don't want to guilt you. Well, this is a side talk today. This is the fireside chat. This is the older guys saying, here's what it looks like. This is what I believe, folks. This is what I believe. I believe you have a responsibility to your children to be on task for God first. And when if you died today, they would look back over your life and they would say, my dad loved God. And I mean, he might not have always agreed with everything everywhere, but man, when it came down to God, he was on task. He was there. He loved Jesus. Because nothing would stop him from being there. He made it to work on time. He made it to church on time. He was a man of God, if ever there was one. Now that doesn't sound foreign if we juxtapose ourselves back 50, 60 years. Because men used to be grave. They used to care about what they believed. But not so much today. We're too busy being caught up in the spirit of the age. And the spirit of the age is about me. I deserve a break. Today. You know what the Bible talks about? Why not rather would you not rather be wronged? Well, I deserved better than that. Now, the Spirit of Christ is to bless those that curse you and pray for those who spitefully use you. That's the Bible. That's the ground we live on. Why do you do that? Number one, you do it because God tells you. Number two, you do it because that person's going to go to heaven or hell. Maybe even based on how you react to them. And maybe number two should be this other one. Either one of these, you put them where you want. But the other reason is because your kids are watching. God says it's time to grow up, and He'll bring in a thorn in yours. Oh, see how you react to that. This is your 40 days. What did you do with those first 40 days? It's not too late. You can recoup. You can get back on task. We live in the age of grace. You can say, God, I'm sorry, man. I bailed on you. But these guys, they kind of went out. They went in there. They gave the report. And they saw everything, and they came back after 40 days. In verse 26, it says, and they went, and they came to Moses and Aaron to all the congregation and under the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh. And they brought back word unto them and unto the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them and said, we came unto the land whither you sent us. And underline the word surely, if you have a pen. It says, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. They're saying it's just like God said. The word surely is, yep, that's what you told us. That's what we found. Everything God says is absolutely yes and amen. It is always yes and amen. God said, I will be with you always, even to the end of the world. When you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you don't have to fear because He says, I know you are with me.